Well, this conference will be on God the Father, because in a few months we'll be approaching the year 1999. And this is the year that the Holy Father designates as the year of God the Father. The last time I was here, we spoke on the Holy Spirit, and I explained some of the main points that the Holy Father gives us in Tertio Millennio Adveniente, which means the advent of the third millennium. And so the Holy Father has given us this three-year preparation from 1997, 98, and 99 to prepare us for the great Jubilee year, the year 2000. And I'm wearing this Jubilee stole, which will be, some I'm sure, very popular as we approach the year 2000. It belongs to Father Bruce, but Sister allowed me to wear it. So just to refresh ourselves on what the Holy Father has said for the last couple years, he said that 1997 was the year of Jesus Christ, and that the virtue in 1997 was the virtue of faith that he wanted us to develop. And then the sacrament we focused on in 97 was the holy sacrament of baptism. 1998, and we just have a few months left in this year, is the year of the Holy Spirit. And the sacrament that the Holy Father gives us this year is the sacrament of confirmation. And the virtue is the virtue of hope. But now we're approaching the year 1999, and the Holy Father turns our attention to God the Father. And he says that this year of 1999 should be a year in which we try to focus our love and devotion and attention on God the Father and on the sacrament of penance. He wants us really to focus on this beautiful sacrament of God's love, forgiveness, and mercy, and to encourage people to take advantage of this beautiful sacrament of penance, the rite of reconciliation. And the virtue for this coming year of 1999 is the virtue of love, the virtue of charity. So notice the Holy Father has given us a beautiful three-year preparation from Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Father, faith, hope, and love, baptism, confirmation, and reconciliation. And the year 2000, he'll focus on the entire Blessed Trinity and on the Eucharist. So he's hoping it'll be a tremendous Jubilee year. So the Holy Father explains all these things in Tertio Millennio Adveniente. He also refers to Our Lady in this coming year as the model of love, that we should use her as our example and model for that virtue of charity, which she lives so perfectly, and also to see her as the daughter of God the Father. So I'd like to just give you 10 practical suggestions on how you can implement some of the teachings of the Holy Father this coming year. Number 9, the Holy Father recommends the virtue of love. What can we do to grow in the virtue of love? Well, one recommendation I'd like to give you is the best description of love is 1 Corinthians 13, St. Paul, who wrote, love is patient, love is kind. Read it. It's a beautiful description, the most beautiful description of love ever given. So I'd ask you to, sometime during this coming year, to read that passage and even hand copy it, write it out, and put it on the holy card. And maybe put that holy card on your mirror where you'll see it every day. And that way, each and every day, you'll be reminded of the virtue of love for the year of 1999. And pray that you'll grow in that virtue of love, that you'll live out what Paul talks about, that love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love is not rude, love does not, you know, desire to see other people go through difficult times, but rejoices in the good. So I encourage you to try to do that, to meditate upon the passage from St. Paul on love and pray for an increase in the virtue of love. And lastly, number 10, the Holy Father tells us that Mary should be our model. So this coming year should be a time in which we honor Our Lady as the model of love, the model of charity, because she had a burning love for God. Her Immaculate Heart is on fire with love for God. So we should see Our Lady as the model of love and as the chosen daughter of God the Father. Our Blessed Mother has a unique relationship with the Blessed Trinity. She is mother of God the Son. She is spouse of the Holy Spirit. And she is daughter of God the Father. So we should try this coming year to grow in our love and tender devotion to our Blessed Mother, who can help us to develop our own virtue of love. Because our love, as our Lord told St. Margaret Mary, has grown cold. That most people in our society have a very cold heart when it comes to loving God. But our Blessed Mother can help to fan the flame of that love within our hearts so that we will love God the way He deserves to be loved. So these are 10 practical suggestions. Read the Catechism. Pray the Our Father often. Meditate upon it. Reflect upon the Mass as the perfect prayer to the Father. Read the story of the prodigal son. Go to confession regularly. Get others to go to confession. Read and study about St. Joseph. Grow in your love of St. Joseph. Encourage and pray for a renewal of Christian fatherhood. And pray for an increase in the virtue of charity, of love. And read 1 Corinthians 13. And then see Our Lady as the model of love. And ask her to give you the same love that she has for Jesus, her divine Son. God bless you. The first one is to read the Catechism of the Catholic Faith. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has a tremendous section on God the Father. And in that section, the Catechism teaches that God the Father is the source of all things and the final goal of all things. That He is the source from the standpoint that as God the Father, He eternally begot God the Son. We call that the generation of God the Son from the Eternal Father. So from all eternity, the Father begets the Son. And then from all eternity, the love between the Father and the Son is the divine person, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. So we should see God the Father as the source and the final goal of all mankind, that eventually we're to go back to the Father. Christ came from the Father to redeem us, and then He will take us to the Father. The Catechism teaches us that without Christ, we cannot know the Father. And Jesus Himself taught that. He said, no one can come to the Father except through Me. He also said, the Father and I are one. And He told Philip, he who has seen Me has actually seen the Father. So it's Jesus who reveals the Heavenly Father to us. And so if you want to get to know the Father, get to know the Son. Read the Scriptures, study the life of Christ, and if you get to know Christ, you'll get to know the Father. He will show you the Father. He'll lead you to the Father. The Catechism also talks about the importance of following the first three commandments in regards to God. Because the first three commandments have to do with our relationship with God, and then commandments 4 through 10 have to do with our relationship with other people. And the first commandment says, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before Me. And so the way in which we can honor God the Father is by especially following these three commandments. To honor the Lord your God and not to have any strange gods before us. This means to put God as first place in our lives and to get rid of anything that stands in our way in keeping us from the Father. And oftentimes in our society, the false gods are not pagan temples and graven images and statues. There are other kinds of things, such as secularism, materialism, humanism, and these other things that people have put up as the goal of their life. For example, if somebody makes material goods the goal of their life, then that is a false god that they're worshiping, in a sense, instead of the one true God. Father Hardin, the famous Jesuit, once said, there are two kinds of people in this world, those that are living for this world and those that are living for the next world. And we're called to be followers of Christ to live for the next world. So the first commandment is to have no strange gods before the one true God. The second commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And this is something we should especially do in our daily life to respect God's holy name. We even say that in the Our Father. We say, Hallowed be thy name. And if you hear somebody use God's name in vain, you should say a prayer. Say an Our Father or the prayer, Blessed be the name of God. Or some other prayer to make reparation for those who use God's name in vain. And I'm sure God's name is used in vain so many times a day in the movies, the TVs, and in conversation. So we, as followers of our Lord, should have a holy respect for God's name. That's the way in which we can honor God the Father, is by respecting His holy name. Thirdly, the third commandment is, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. And for Christians, the Lord's day is Sunday. So we keep Sunday holy primarily by attending Mass, whether it be the vigil on Saturday evening or on Sunday itself, to keep holy the Lord's day, which also means we should have Sunday as a day of prayer, a day of recreation and rest, a family day, and not to do unnecessary servile work on Sunday, to do those things on other days, and to keep Sunday as a very blessed and sacred day, a very holy day. You know, also the fourth commandment, even though it's honor thy father and mother, that does have a relation to the first three commandments. Because the reason why we honor our parents is because they represent the authority of God, that they brought us into this life, they gave us life, and for that reason, we honor them. And we also honor those in the church and places of authority, like the Pope, bishops, pastors, priests, those in civil positions. We honor their office and we honor the dignity of the office of those in the church and in the state. So we're called to honor our parents, and that flows from our honoring of God Himself. So I encourage you to read the section in the New Catechism about God the Father. The second point is to meditate upon the Lord's Prayer, that beautiful prayer, perhaps the most beautiful prayer ever composed, the Our Father, taught by our Lord Himself. Teresa of Avila once said, if you want to learn how to pray, say the Our Father, but take an hour to say it. Isn't that something? Think about that for a minute. If you just said the Our Father, but took an hour to say it, that would be some serious, heavy-duty prayer, because that would mean that you'd be meditating upon each phrase, each word, each idea contained in the Our Father. Let me just share a few insights on the Our Father with you. We say, Our Father. We don't say, My Father. Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father. In other words, we should be concerned about our brothers and sisters, and we should be praying for them as well. So when we pray the Our Father, we're praying for other people as well. And then the word is Father is Abba in the original language, which means Daddy. So when we say Our Father, in our heart, we could say, Our Daddy. Our Father, Abba. You know, when I was in the Holy Land once, I was in a bakery in Jerusalem, and I heard little kids say, Abba, Abba. And I turned around, he was talking to his daddy. He's only a little four or five-year-old kid. And that was very touching. They still use that terminology today. So it's the word a young child would use for his father, for his daddy. And then we pray, Hallowed be thy name. We pray that we'll respect God's holy name and never use it lightly, carelessly, or in vain. And that we'll pray that His kingdom will come, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now this brings up the angels, because the angels are doing God's will perfectly in heaven. So we're saying, may we do God's will on earth as the angels are doing it in heaven. So even in the Our Father is the presence of the angels. And then we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Give us each day what we need, materially and spiritually. Give us all the grace we need for the day. Notice it doesn't say, give us this day our daily pastries or our daily donuts. Because we don't need those things. We want those things, but we don't really need them. Bread is what we need to live. All those other things, the donuts and those things, the danishes, those are what we want. And then we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. the word as is the most important word in the Our Father. Because we're saying, God, forgive me my sins as I am willing to forgive those who have hurt me and have sinned against me. And we pray that we'll not be led into temptation and that He'll deliver us from all evil. The evil one himself and from all other kinds of evil. So during this coming year of 1999, meditate upon the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. It's the perfect prayer, the one that Jesus himself taught, and it's a perfect way of honoring God the Father. Third, whenever you attend Mass, try to reflect upon the fact that the Mass is a prayer addressed to God the Father, that it's the prayer of Jesus offering himself to the Father. All the Eucharistic prayers are addressed to God the Father. All the opening prayers, the glory to God in the highest, all the prayers of the Mass, except for two, are addressed to God the Father. We pray, for example, we come to you, Father, with praise and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. All the prayers are addressed to the Father, except for the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us, that's addressed to Jesus, and the prayer right after the Our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, I leave you peace, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the face of your church. That's addressed to Jesus. But all the other prayers of the Mass are addressed to the Father. The whole liturgy is Jesus offering himself to the Eternal Father. So notice that when you come to Mass. Fourth, I'd recommend this coming year to meditate often upon the story of the prodigal son. The better name for that parable is the parable of the merciful father, because he's the star of the show. The father is the merciful one. The prodigal son is the one who wasted his inheritance. He went off and lived a life of dissolute living, and he hit rock bottom. But that's when he came back to his father, because he knew his father would forgive him. He knew he had a merciful father, and his father was there looking out of the house, waiting for his son to come back, always looking, always praying for his son to come back. That image of the merciful father and the prodigal son should really be the image that we have of God the Father. So during this coming year, focus your attention on that story. Read it, meditate upon it, and realize that is the kind of love that the Father has for each one of us. Fifthly, the Holy Father recommends that we participate often in the sacrament of penance to make a good confession. So I encourage you, during this coming year, take good advantage of the sacrament of penance. Make regular confessions. I always recommend to people, at least, if they haven't gone in years, try to go at least 4 times a year, summer, winter, spring, and fall. But if you're already in the habit of doing that, why not try monthly confession? Balance your spiritual checkbook each month. You know, go to confession once a month, maybe around First Friday or First Saturday devotions. So participate in that sacrament. Because in that sacrament we pray, God the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of His Son, has sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. So when we think of the heart of confession, we think of the mercy of God the Father, that He sent His Son, He sent the Holy Spirit to forgive our sins. So participate regularly in that in sacrament of confession. And then, number six, I'd recommend try to get other people to go to confession during this coming year, especially people that have been away from the sacrament for a long time. Get extra copies of the booklet on how to go to confession and give them out. Give them out in different places, on your legion visits, on your apostolic work with the Ladies Auxiliary or the Knights of Columbus or the Legion. I encourage you to promote this sacrament of penance and to encourage fallen away Catholics to come back to confession. We should read a good examination of conscience ourselves before we go to confession. Some people say, Father, I can keep confessing the same thing, you know, month in and month out. Well, maybe we should make a deeper examination of conscience and read a good booklet that goes through all the Ten Commandments, and that can help the Holy Spirit to enlighten us as to our sins. So we should read the examination of conscience ourselves and then give them out to people. If you have a relative or friend coming over that hasn't been to confession in a long time, leave one on the table, on the kitchen table or dining room table, or maybe leave one in the bathroom. Everybody has to use that room once in a while. So it never hurts. There's all sorts of ways to evangelize. Number 7 is realize that Saint Joseph is the perfect human image of God the Father. He's called the mirror or the shadow of the Father. He's the reflection of God the Father. And so during this coming year, especially the month of March, we should grow in our devotion to Saint Joseph. Read and study and pray until you develop a very intense love and devotion for Saint Joseph. See, whenever Teresa of Avila was going through difficult times, she would pray to Saint Joseph because he always helped her out. And the church's whole position is what they said in the Old Testament, go to Joseph. The church always tells us, go to Joseph in time of need, in time of difficulty, pray to Saint Joseph. He is one of our patron saints, the patron of the universal church, the patron saint of a happy death, patron saint for husbands and workers, and he really is the greatest saint next to our Blessed Mother. So during this year, we should focus on Saint Joseph as the mirror or reflection of God the Father. Number 8, we should try to do what we can to promote true Christian fatherhood. Now, most of you, probably, since this is a women's group today, probably won't relate as much to some of the teachings that are found in the church on fatherhood. But there's wonderful movements in the church today that are trying to promote what true Christian fatherhood is. And I think of St. Joseph's Covenant Keepers from Florida. They're now all over the United States and other parts of the world trying to promote fathers taking spiritual leadership in the home, not leaving it up to the moms to pray or to the moms to just take the kids to church. But they are being called to really to be the spiritual leaders of the home and to be the example in the home of imitating St. Joseph, the head of the Holy Family. So we should pray during this coming year for a renewal of the spirit of Christian fatherhood, that fathers will really take up their responsibility. Fathers and grandfathers will be examples and do what they can to sanctify the home and to bring people closer to Christ, especially their children and their grandchildren. So Christian fatherhood as a reflection of God's fatherhood is a very important theme for this coming year of